basically cycling, and the original plan was sea to sea to sea from Tuktoyaktuk in the Arctic to Prince Rupert on the Pacific to Halifax on the Atlantic. And we're, the cause is to, we're cycling for water. We're partnering with a group called GAIN, Global Aid Network. They drill deep, one of their projects, they have different areas of specialty, but one of their areas of specialty is what they call Water for Life. And they drill deep cap water wells in African villages in three countries, Togo, Benin, and Tanzania. And they're communal, they're for communities, not like single homesteads. So they're, on average, it would serve 1,000 people. Each well serves about 1,000 people, 1,000 villagers. And so they're, and then they also have community training. They do hygiene, sanitation training. They train a well committee to actually oversee the well so that if any repairs need to be done over time and just certain things need to be done with the well, there's a committee in place that in the, from the village that takes care of it. So there's a whole bunch of different trainings that they do as well for in the community. And so anyway, that, so what we're doing, we're cycling across the country to raise awareness and funds for the cause. Are the average age of the cyclist is 65. We're roughly on the road for 65 days. And so the cause is to raise the funds for 65 wells. And each well cost, including the training element and a few other things actually, is $8,500. And so we say that $8.50 gives water for life for one person. So we either have 40 wells either completely paid for or pledged. And we're trusting that there'll be another 25 added to that before we reach the end or close to the time we reach the end of our trip.
How can people help out?
So they can go to the website, cycling4water.ca, and there's a donate button, and people can actually just click on the button and follow instructions. It's actually quite simple. That's to do it, of course, by credit card online.
And there's four of you. Speaking as a group, why did you guys get involved?
Oh, well, I think, in actually, to be honest, every one of us has had a chance to, for different reasons, go overseas and into Africa, and we've actually observed these types of situations. For example, I went long, long time ago. It was actually in 1981. I was on a project to then Zaire, which is now the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and I was in the east part of the country near Goma, which was in the news during the Rwanda war, the genocide there. But anyway, because many fled to Goma. But anyway, I was in that area, and it was in the north of that town. I was in the northern section in the rural areas, and I would see children and women walking with these large yellow containers. And I thought that, at the time, I was quite ignorant. I thought, what are people doing with all these gas cans and with all this petroleum? Well, it wasn't petroleum. They were actually out going to fetch water from the ground, so a pond or maybe a little rivulet or a stream, or but it was all surface water. Or and sometimes people would actually dig for water if they're during a drought season. They would dig down and get the water that would might come bubble to the surface from underneath, and it's frequently disease ridden. So one child dies every 90 seconds from waterborne disease someplace in the world. And by waterborne disease, we're in terms of the water's not potable, it's not drinkable. So it's not, that wouldn't include things like malaria. Malaria is different, even though, you know, insects grow in water, but it's, that's not what they mean by waterborne disease. So yeah, a child dies every 90 seconds. So all of us saw the need, and everyone has a similar story to tell when they were in Africa. And so that sort of really touched our hearts, and this is a, you know, and by drilling down just 20, 30, 40 meters, 50 meters, well, 50 might be a bit, but anyway, 20, 30, 40 meters, there's clean water, drinking water right under their feet. And so that's what GAIN does. They drill those deep capped water wells so that they could provide easy access to. And the pumps are mechanical, not electric, but usually there's a bit of water pressure from below anyway once they strike water. So, yeah, we saw the need, and it's curious how the team, we have a driver that's our logistics manager as well, all four of us actually work for an organization called Power to Change. And one of them is the fifth member of the team is a retired school teacher. So anyway, some of us have known one another for a while, and so that's in a sense how this all came together. There was one village in northern Tanzania where there had been 13 attempts to drill for water. So that's a little bit of a rare type of situation. Normally, when the gang goes into a village, they cooperate with the local governments and the villagers themselves to, you know, drill a well without cooperation. Anyway, so they were invited by a church that was in that community. And so when they started to drill the well, this was the 14th attempt, the church people gathered around the well, and they were actually cheering and praying and doing different things to encourage the team on. And this was the 14th time, and they struck water. And it was the force of the water that shot out the pipe, and it sprayed everyone around that had surrounded where the drilling rig was, and they were all dancing for joy, and so they were so ecstatic that they finally had clean water. So it was, and that story repeats itself over and over and over again.
And how has the trip gone?
Oh, it's been wonderful. Although we've had challenges, interesting challenges. That I did a similar trip in 2014 for the same cause. And there was only one major challenge in that trip. There was an accident. I was the one that had an accident and was out of the... I actually missed all of Ontario last time. But what's happened this time is there's been... Okay, so one of the members of the team, there was a death in the family, so he left the team for about a week to go spend time with his family. One of the members had a spill in which he fractured his pelvis and actually had a little bit of internal bleeding. He had to step out for a week. I'm nursing tendonitis above my ankle, and I took a week off last week. I'm now cycling again with the team, but I'm building up. I'm not cycling full days yet again. And we had smoke. We had smoke from wildfires in central BC, and on the prairies. Normally, we would expect westerly winds, tailwind, but 5 of the 6 days we cycled across the prairies, we had a headwind. So there's actually been a lot of challenges, but we get to meet wonderful people. People are being generous. People are giving. And so, you know, we had someone walk up to us at a meeting and says, I want to cover a well. And, you know, they obviously was a business person of means. But the point is that they just felt inspired and touched by the cause and says, I want to cover an entire well, $8,500. We've had people walk up to they see the van. We have a wrap around our RV, which is the support vehicle. People see that and they've walked up to us and said, oh, I'd like to give, and, you know, $20, $100, whatever. And it all adds up. And so it's been very encouraging to receive the response of Canadians all across the country. That's really what makes this so special. And of course, we get to see the beauty of Canada from bikes. It's 2 months. We started July 25th, cycling, and we will finish in Halifax, September 25th.